Welcome to People in Digital, the podcast. My name is Amélie Behrens. I am a CX design and leadership coach. I'm leading the CX revolution towards the human-centered design era. No more, no less, my friend. And with me, you're going to take action, build confidence, and deliver in the most radical human way. Here is what I propose to you. Every week, you'll discover a new episode focusing on a mix of big picture thinking and step-by-step actions to follow through discussions with experts who are passionate about people or the digital industry or both. Also, I craft special episodes to develop your mindset and your self-awareness because that's where lies your superpower. It's packed with everything you need to know to build a better, more impactful, and more sustainable business in your industry and make the best decisions for your career or your business. So, what are you waiting for? Start taking action and create a positive impact today by signing up for the podcast. It's like a little commitment for yourself because the only way forward is to focus on people and yourself, of course. I'm also very happy to invite you to the Leader Attitude, the only newsletter that helps you to take your power back by focusing on mindset, people, and execution. It's an exclusive weekly email that you can read at your own pace to help you remember the concepts. I will also notify you when I launch new stuff, products, group coaching, trainings, and other fantastic surprises, of course. Sign up today on amelieberens.com. All the links are also in the description. And join a growing community of leaders like you who have decided to take a turn in their career or their business. Oh, and one last thing. Please remember, it's always a good moment to start. On to the podcast now. Hello and welcome in this new podcast episode. I am very happy to introduce you today to Lorenzo Baun. He is a successful Belgian tech entrepreneur who was initially known for founding the video agency StoryMe. But it's not a tech story we are going to explore today. Lorenzo's entrepreneurship drive took another road, a road that is very dear to me, a road that is expanding, something that is just starting, and believe me, it's only the beginning of something big, and it's about mental health. We're going to explore microdosing and why Lorenzo co-founded Eidu, the new startup offering a premium microdose program to improve general well-being, focus, creativity, and much more. So, let's get started right away. Hello, Lorenzo, and welcome in this podcast episode. I'm very, very grateful you created the space, the time to come on this podcast to talk about a very important topic, something that is starting to trend more and more in the world of self-development, health, mental health, and everything. So it's a very critical one. And because of my personal story, because I'm a user and a very big activist in mental health, I really think it's important that we discuss that topic together. So I'm very happy you joined because you are one of the pioneers here in Belgium about this this topic. And welcome, Lorenzo. And before we start to dig into this very interesting topic of psychedelic psilocybin, microdosing, I would like to ask you one simple yet important question. Who are you, Lorenzo, and what do you like to do?
Good morning, Amélie. Thanks for having me. So, yeah, important question. Who am I? existential question, the first one. Now, I'm Lorenzo Baun. I'm a simple guy from Belgium. I grew up in Ghent, but I lived in Brussels for about 15 years. I'm a dad. I have three kids, 6, 5, and 1 year. And I'm the founder of I do together with my co-founder, Nicholas, and we have a team of about six people now. So mainly that's who I am.
I'm very pleased to meet you, Lorenzo. And let's get into the meat of that gathering with another big one question, important one. Why psychedelics, psilocybin and microdosing became important topics lately?
Yeah, great question. That's the question I get a lot from my parents, from my friends, from the dinner tables or when we go to marriage or whatever. People are asking why. So why did you do this after a tech startup, after a video strategy? And the short answer is because I truly believe this is changing the world for the better. The long story is a longer story. After StoryMe, so the previous startup that I sold in 2020, January, I really needed some time off. I wanted some time off with the family. And then after a couple of years, I think 7 years in total, just to get out of it and to have a fresh start, let's say. We went to South America with the family just to meet friends there. We wanted to stay for 3 weeks, and actually we stayed for 6 months. So, wow. It was amazing. Met a lot of people. I met myself again. I think the question of who are you, it's like a continuous journey probably in the last couple of years, but for everybody, of course. And in Latin America, that's where we met a lot of entrepreneurs, but we met a lot of different kind of people from all around the world. And a lot of people were using psychedelics in a non-recreational way, which I knew a little bit, but not a lot, but not in a recreational way, but really in a functional way where we think about our health, when we are conscious about what we're eating, how we do sports, how we take the time with our family, with our friends. It's really some kind of an extra tool in the toolbox that people used. And I was really inspired. I was already like waking up at 5 a.m., doing sports, doing a lot of reading and trying to shift my life a little bit more to the performance, but also to like just being more happy, let's say. I was already happy, but always since I'm a kid, always looking for that. Okay, what can I improve? How can I be a better dad? How can I be a better husband, a better lover, whatever, everything that can be involving. Yeah, one of the things was microdosing, and I was struck by the amount of people that actually there, most of them were, I would say, Americans, so the US, Israel, a lot of people from everywhere. But I was struck how many people actually microdosed, and that I didn't know what it was and how it worked and what it did to the brain and everything. So that was the basic point. Yeah,
and so you enter that world, and so this is something that is spreading. Indeed, it started in USA, in the other continent, very far away from here, but here in Europe, in Belgium. You know, you say psychedelic, it's like, oh my God, it's a drug. It can be scary. I mean, you really mentioned the difference. There is the recreational way and the functional way. That is something that is very specific to what we are going to talk about today. But how would you explain microdosing for a beginner? Somebody who's like, what the hell is this psychedelic microdosing?
Mm-hmm. My view on microdosing is taking a small amount of psychedelics to either heal or perform. So that is a small amount of psychedelics that could be LSD, that could be psilocybin. Psilocybin is in the mushrooms or in the truffles. That could be another kind of classical psychedelic. But basically, to make it simple, a very small amount of shrooms or truffles or LSD. Now, the only legal part is the truffle, if we take Europe, for example. So the only legal possibility, and I'm also saying this for you in your podcast and definitely to the rest in Europe, is not the illegal parts, which is LSD and the mushroom. So yeah, small amount of psychedelics to have an effect.
Okay. And why people, you said about there is a healing dimension, also performance. So I think that people might be like, okay, so it's not only for making a big party or going on another world, have hallucinations. What's something that, you know, non-experts believe about microdosing and they're wrong about? Please clarify this. Mm-hmm.
Then I think that's linked also to our mission, right? So the mission of IDO, the company we started, so the startup in microdosing, is really about being the bridge between people that could benefit from microdosing and the actual microdosing program of X amount of weeks or months while microdosing twice a week. Mm. The typical protocol that we read a lot about, the Fadiman protocol, that a lot of people are using. So what are the misconceptions? I think basically it's all based on the stigma that we take with us for the last 50 to 60 years is psychedelics are dangerous. Psychedelics are addictive. Psychedelics are not a method or a tool that we could actually use to improve. So typically these are the the three main misconceptions. I think the first one is it safe or not? Like that was also the first question we asked ourselves. Are we going to launch a business and really stand behind this if it's not safe? No, of course not. So the first thing was going through a lot of research, talking to a lot of researchers, so first question was 100%, it is safe. So it has been proven multiple times comparing to a lot of other substances, how safe it is. Like to comparison, we can take 3 to 5 times an amount of alcohol, for example, can be damaging. If you take other substances, illegal substances like heroin, for example, 1 or 2 can be extremely damaging, even lethal. If you talk about, I think it's nicotine, you do like the 20 times that amount and it's also lethal. For psychedelics, they take the amount of 1,000 today compared to 3 or 2 that I previously said, just because they didn't find the amount that could be actually lethal for people. So that's incredible. I mean, just that's only the safe part and the physiological way of seeing it. So that was something that blew our minds. And then the second thing, is it addictive or not? Super interesting question. I mean, do we want to have people getting addicted to a product that we sell? Absolutely not. I mean, that's what we don't want. And if we think a little bit in the normal society, do we want people to buy more and more Coca-Cola and be a little bit addicted to it too? Yes, that is the typical way of seeing business. I mean, we think about recurrency, etc.
Yeah, but if for that, they got sugar. That they got their way.
Exactly. I think they just show that in studies that sugar is 50 times more, 40 times more addictive than cocaine. Pretty intense study. I don't know how credible it is, but it's out there. Now, is it addictive or not? That's the big question. And again, so studies show that, first of all, it's not addictive, so neither physically or mentally. Going to get back on that because some personalities, of course, are much more addictive, have a potential of addictions than others. Let's say 3 to 4% of the population has that really addictive DNA, which is also possible with running a marathon, which is also possible with, feeling in love, et cetera, et cetera. But mainly for the whole other, the biggest part of the population, it's not addictive, nor physical or mentally. And even more, they show now, studies show now that it actually helps to treat addictions. People that have long-term nicotine addictions, alcohol addictions, even opioid addictions that are helped with psychedelics. So that is the opposite of what we actually think about when we read about or when we talk about psychedelics. And it's that was incredible as well. Talking to a lot of researchers about this, and that convinced Nicholas and myself to not just be okay with it, but to be 100% in, because a lot of people struggle with addictions, and that's only a small part of the mental health problems that we see today.
Yeah, and I could witness to this. Microdosing supported my journey through to quitting alcohol big time, and it was a very powerful ingredient in that journey. So yeah, I can tell it is not.
Congratulations!
Yeah, thank you. I'm proud of it, so that's why I mentioned it.
Can I ask you how is you don't drink anymore at all, or just being able to control it now and have and understood how and why?
Now I'm in the second phase. In the first phase, it was nothing at all, not a drop of it. And now I can have one or two glass, depending on what very specific thing. For example, I can drink a glass of bubble or a very nice cocktail. I have friends who had one's bar with cocktail bar. So I just go there sometimes and I get one glass and this is enough. I really don't have that urge to get through it. But it's also linked to my anxiety. I was drinking my anxiety. And so it was, that's why it was so helpful in this journey.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy when we think about it, how legal substances are still much more addictive, much more harmful, and much more easily just accessible to everybody compared to non-legal substances that do the opposite and actually help people. But that's a whole other debate, but very interesting as well.
But that's true. Everybody found me super funny when I was completely wasted, but and they had no question about it. Like, how do you feel, Amelie? Why are you so wasted right now? But when I started to mention that I was microdosing, people were like, "Ooh, that sounds dangerous. What are you doing?" I was like, "Guys,
no, that's something we think about a lot, and we talk about that with politicians. We talk about that with scientists, with doctors, with a lot of people, and it is something that is changing." We feel it won't be the same in if we think about the next 5 to 10 years. That's pretty short, but let's say 20 years from now, our lives will be completely different in substances and in the way we see things today. Compare it sometimes to gay marriages. Like in, I think it's 2013 or 14, it was still illegal. Like even in Belgium, I think
we're the first crazy,
European country that legalized it.
Yeah,
and now we're like, how is that possible that two people from same-sex marriages couldn't get together? And we have a lot of examples like this. This is more like the more legal debate behind it.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd like to ask you some question about your observation, because you have members, you've been into this yourself, and you support other people in their journey through your programs. So, what are the most common reason people come to you, and start a program with microdosing?
Mm-hmm. Around 30% of people come for mental well-being. So that could be, let's say, a mom with some kids that was on antidepressants, for example, that feel numbed down, and she didn't want to feel that antidepressant feeling anymore. That's one third, let's say, mental well-being, mental health. One third is then approximately is about finding his energy again, finding this energy and focus that's typical, I don't know, like a software engineer or an entrepreneur that says, okay, I really want to be more focused and focus on the on what matters and leave the clutter behind. That's typically the second type of person that we see. And then more and more also older people that feel more of a cognitive decline, people that have or Alzheimer's or others, don't have to be patients, but don't have to be needed to heal of something. But they're also seeing it more as a supplement and saying, okay, this could maybe help me to regenerate new neurons or just make sure that I'm here and I'm focused and help me get a better social contact with my grandchildren and kids, for example. So it's a bit of everything, I would say, mainly people that think about self-improvement.
Yeah, we are very far from the people we could imagine like getting super high in parties and everything. Now we are real people. Yeah. No, that's true. We are very, that's people who are very caring about their health and their well-being, that they're like, okay, I'm committing myself into a journey with psilocybin, microdosing, good, but they're already on sort of journey. They want to feel better. And I'm sure they're, I mean, that's inspiring. I didn't know about older people, but with neuroplasticity, I mean, it's indeed a very good option, I guess. So yeah, very interesting.
That's also a subject that's very interesting is neuroplasticity, of course, and we talk about a lot. We also talk about neurogenesis. So neuroplasticity is the plasticity of the brain being able to adapt and find new neural connections, which we couldn't find before. Neurogenesis is the growth of new neurons. Microdosing is more in research, like deep research, is more known for neurogenesis. So the creation of new neurons instead of neuroplasticity. So it's still like a debate in science when we go to presentations or we go to seminars. Yes, there is neuroplasticity, but there is also neuroplasticity in doing sports or doing yoga or doing meditation or eating healthy. So neuroplasticity is not only in psychedelics. Now I'm talking small doses. If you go to high doses, of course, which is not microdosing, but high doses of psychedelics, then we see much more neuroplasticity and a little bit of neurogenesis.
Okay. Yeah, because we mentioned microdosing, because that's the thing. Also, you help people with your program, but there is the macro dosing as well that can be, again, functional, not recreational. But that's another story, maybe.
Absolutely.
Know. Yeah, voilà.
We hear the analogy, and we love the analogy of going to the dentist once or twice every year just to make sure everything is okay. And for high doses, of course. Like comparing with high doses, going to the dentist, and then just brushing your teeth every day, like staying healthy, staying in balance, doing microdosing.
Okay.
On the other hand, we like the analogy because it's, of course, microdosing is not every day, or for most people, it's not every day. It's once every 3 days or twice a week, where everybody has his protocol. But just being in that space of, okay, I'm going to do some deep work with higher doses of psychedelics, with a therapist, with a safe setting, with a completely professional surrounding, that's amazing. I mean, that's life-changing. And microdosing can just tap into that a little bit once every X amount of months, for example. So that's what we hear a lot and a lot of benefits.
Okay. I love that analogy. I use the same analogy for a therapy. I believe that, you know, just go once in a year just to make a checkup, see if everything is all right. Maybe you're going to have like you need a feeling or something. So you go for one or two other session that year, but that's okay. Just make a check. I love that, that analogy. Everybody can relate when you talk about dentists. So interesting, very interesting. But what you just mentioned, that it's a whole protocol, it's a program. You just not get you know, some psychedelics in your pocket and then you improvise something. There is a whole program. How do you set people for success when they come to you?
That was the base of I Do. Today, if you want, you can just buy truffles online, right? Or you can go to Amsterdam. And that's okay too. Some people just use it in a recreational way, but that's absolutely not what we wanted to do. We really wanted to do it in a functional way, helping people not only have the microdosing, but also have like that guidance, being guided step by step in an 8-week program. And the real mission that we have there is just to help people microdose in a very safe and guided way so that they understand completely what it does, how it can help, and sometimes it doesn't, but how it can help, and then do it themselves. So that is really the base idea. So how do we do it? It's a step-by-step program where people order the program. They start, so we have 5-day coaches that help people in different languages, different styles. If it's more linked to sports, if it's more linked to stop smoking, for example, if it's more linked to getting more into the focus and performance. We have an assessment for people because, of course, some people would not microdose. We're talking about people with schizophrenia. Yeah. I don't know how you say it in English. Personality disorders, for example, that's something you really have to be careful with. And that's why we have assessments. It's called the DAS-22. It's really in-depth analysis that also psychiatrists use. Once people go through it, then we start with the onboarding. So it's really about all the practicals, tips and tricks about microdosing, how you can actually do it, how it can be helpful for you. Different protocols. Sometimes we say the Fadiman protocol. That's once every 3 days. Sometimes we suggest another protocol. We call it the I Do protocol. And then it starts actually with the package sent to the person, and they can start with the protocol and also send messages in a direct app where everything is asked for. So it's really like a question answer 24/7. The coaches don't answer 24/7, but questions can be asked 24/7, and then it's asynchronous. Typical program is about 8 weeks, and then what we hear a lot of our members is they stop for like a month or two, and then when they feel like, okay, this is another period in my life where, I don't know, or they need to be sharp for a very certain project for that time, or the opposite. They feel like, okay, just time for me to microdose now for like a month or two, and then I stop.
Okay. Very interesting. And so you got people coming back maybe. I guess there is also a lot of people reaching out to you, very curious, because you're talking about well-being, performance, healing. I mean, people are very attracted to those things. Then they discover that they have to do the work. That might be one barrier, but what are the common roadblocks people comes to you, meet when they discover the world, the program, and everything? What are the roadblocks for accessing this kind of programs?
Well, I would say it's maybe if we go back a little bit to the name, why did we do? It was a whole journey, a whole story to get there. But mainly, it's basically two words. So it's I from ayudar. Ayudar is helping in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish, but Nicholas had that great insight of ayudar. And do of doing. So what we really think is we help people to get to know microdosing, and they're actually doing the work. So it's a bit of an answer to your question is, how does that work? How do we get people to actually get into that zone of self-development and step-by-step leading them to the objective they want, because it's not our objective. Let's say a typical objective is, I want to be more connected with my kids. Another objective is, I want to I want to live a healthier lifestyle, for example. Well, the coaches are then helping step by step to get there in certain periods. Now it's 8 weeks, which we're also thinking about journeys of about 6 months or 12 months, where we really help people have life-changing effects, let's say. And not one objective for the year, but one objective every 3 months. And then at the end of the year, you have 4 objectives that are reached, and that is life-changing. It's not just having a microdose session that it helped you a little bit. No, it really like had a huge impact that 1 year, most probably for the rest of your life. And yeah, that's where we want to go.
That's a very rich approach. I strongly believe that, yeah, this microdosing is powerful, but not alone, not on its own. It's supporting a therapy. It's supporting a self-development journey. So I believe that is a very, very strong proposal you have there. So actually, there is no actual roadblock if you're ready to commit into coaching, and not only in microdosing, or if you're ready to commit in therapy, and not only one or the other or the two if you are just on fire. That's a whole journey you propose.
Yeah, 100%. Just like you, I believe there are no roadblocks. If we take out the potential safety roadblocks that we discussed, take out that. So, I mean, the personality disorders, schizophrenia, these are things that are really important and also be in the pregnancy. If you're in the starting of a pregnancy or pregnant, we wouldn't allow it neither. But if we take out that, the main roadblock is, like always, it's mainly ourselves. Do we really want to devote, make the choices we decided to make? Okay, I'm going to do more sports and be more cautious about what I eat. Okay, but now I have to eat more healthy. If I drive to McDonald's and I have to say no, if I go to dinner party and I don't drink seven beers, because I just drink one glass of wine and the rest will be sparkling water, that's a choice. So the main roadblock is most probably ourselves. What we see is that, and that is really what research shows. I can send you a couple of links also with the latest research on microdosing published in Nature. So it's not like the small study, let's say, that worldwide is renowned. And that is the one that actually shows that the majority of people microdosing are thinking about eating more healthy, reducing alcohol, doing more sports. And everything that is linked to that is, of course, okay, reduction in anxiety, reduction in depression feeling, and an increase of energy, mood, etc. So it's like, you know, it's linked to all the other tools that we have to get better.
Hey, this is Emily from the production. Actually, what happened here is the worst nightmare of every podcaster. My computer froze completely. I don't know what happened, but at that moment, we couldn't communicate anymore. Everything stopped and I was in panic because I might have lost everything. And I loved that conversation. I was like, my God. So it took very few long minutes before I get back into the conversation, and I got reassured that I didn't lose anything from that conversation. And while I was catching my breath after this panicky moment, Lorenzo wanted to twist things a little. So we started, we restarted the interview another way. So I'll let you now discover how he did it.
Yeah, I think we talked about some struggles, some roadblocks. And we were going to talk about your experiences about microdosing.
Oh, that was your question about my experience.
I'm putting it to you now, so I'm interviewing you.
Okay. What do you want to know about my my experience of microdosing?
What it did to you, just simple.
So it first thing, it made me super tired, and I'm like, and I didn't understand why. So I also followed the protocol because it was a few years ago with a therapist, but was so I had a therapist, but I had like a therapist coach for that very specific protocol for microdosing. And I remember I called the guy and I say, "What the hell is this? I'm tired all the time." And a guy told me, "Yeah, maybe you're just tired, actually. Why don't you sleep more? Why don't you go slow?" And that's when I understood what microdosing would help me with, because I was always rushing, pushing and everything. And actually microdosing forced me to just get into my own rhythm, and I had to listen to my body better. So it was the first thing I discovered. Then coupled with my therapy, it helped me because I have PTSD. It helped me to work through my anxiety, and it worked very fine. Seriously, it helped me through anxiety big time. I don't do any panic attack anymore. It's been now, I believe, 2 years that I didn't do any panic attack. So again, coupled with therapy, very powerful. No other medication. I was not into medication, the classic medication, because for me, it was not an option to not feel. I didn't believe it was a way to heal if I couldn't feel. I don't say that it's not useful, but for me, it was not the good option. And so, I find that road. And while I was working through my anxiety, the alcohol thing came as well, because I had definitely not a good and a healthy relationship with that. It was not about celebration when I was consuming alcohol. It was about drinking my anxiety most of the time.
Numbing down and not feeling.
Uh-huh, exactly. So what I didn't want with medicines, I got it with alcohol. Yeah, we are a very fantastic creature, very capable of lying to ourselves big time. And so I got this. I believe now 2 years ago or something, I started to be very sick with alcohol, not because I drank too much of it, but just because it was, my doctor even said, maybe you start to be intolerant or maybe allergic. It was very fun joke for all my friends. Like, oh my God, you got so much alcohol that now you're allergic. Well, I first stopped cold turkey because I was getting too sick, even with a few sips. And that's where I started to just stop everything. It was a weird, confronting period, of course. And again, thanks to microdosing, it was, and therapy, it was something that evolved in the best way. And now I'm not that alcoholic person I used to be. So I'm happy.
You know, this is a very moving story also, because we hear it a lot. You're not alone in this. You're not, of course, you know that, but it's also good to hear. I mean, we have about 1,000+ members from only this year, and a whole lot of stories are about numbing down and finding other ways to be able to cope with things. So it's definitely a touching story. Also, it's with a story I heard a lot from women after pregnancy. This is not related to alcohol, especially, but after pregnancy, for example, that feel some kind of a loss in energy, but also a little bit of a loss of themselves. We just gave birth. We give everything to that creature that is now alive. We love that creature, but we still feel like part of us is missing. And that's linked to energy, but it's also linked to stress of the future, which is linked to anxiety, or just thinking about what happened in the past, which is linked to more depressive thoughts. So why am I saying this is that part of microdosing helped to just be more conscious about, okay, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling it? Why am I thinking about the past or the future? But also part of women that just went through a rough period in the menopause, which is not linked to a childbirth, but just the menopause, having the hormone fluctuate. So a lot of different reasons that people microdose, and most of them had beneficial effects of it. Not all of them. Most of it has beneficial effects of them. And actually, it's not physiologically, right? It's not that the microdose, the psilocybin, so the active ingredient in like in the microdosing of mushrooms or truffles, it's not that the psilocybin relaxes the muscles or something. It's not like a pill that we take from when you go to a drugstore. It really acts on the brain. It works on the brain, and the brain that is then able to release things or accept things or focus on certain things. And that is what actually gives energy. That is what actually relieves anxiety and depressive thoughts.
I like that you mentioned it's not a magic pill, even though we can talk about magic mushroom. It's not about at all the thing. And and for me, that's very subtle changes. That's long-term game first. Not that you have to be on super long programs, but you mentioned, you're thinking about developing 6 months, 1 year program to support the change and actually support the transformation, because it takes time. And there is no such a thing as a magic pill for that. And for example, in my case, it helped me to create the connection with my mind and my body, because with PTSD, it was not connected, not enough, and working. But not only the pill, therapy, yoga, breathing exercises, everything. But it does create a sense of presence. At least that's how I experienced it. It did create a sense of presence of now. That's the thing with the tiredness I was mentioning. Why am I so tired right now? Because you are tired right now. That's the whole thing. Just get asleep and go take a nap or something. And because I was always in the future, in the future, in the future, to avoid to be in the past. Well, I could definitely be in the present right now. And that's better since I do that more frequently. Yeah.
That's what we hear also. The coaches are sometimes helping people in microdosing in the evening. Microdose before going to sleep. So that was completely new to me. So after 10 months, I was like, okay, this is actually something that could be researched. What happens with when you microdose in the evening? Because for me personally, psilocybin works more active. And most probably in maybe 2-3 years or in the past, if I microdosed in a period where I was very tired, of course I had the same. So it's just linked to that phase in my life where I felt it. But we had a couple of people that are now microdosing at an evening and sleep better, have quite vivid dreams, but then they feel the effect of the microdosing the day after. So that is a different kind of protocol, let's say. Also interesting to mention, don't know if you know, Amélie, but you are also linked to university. So we're doing a study now with Kim Kuipers around microdosing. So we're sending people from our program, so we are our members, to actually being in a study to research what the effect is of coaching with microdosing on people with looking for healing. So really patients then, and to perform. We don't focus on patients, but some people come with certain things. So also very interesting is research is still super, super early in Belgium. In Belgium, we don't have any kind of psychedelic research. It is ongoing. So Dr. Mathieu Senave is doing studies and a couple of other people that we now know as well. But microdosing is still super, super early stage, even for Europe, even internationally.
Okay. Yeah.
And that is something that we don't need to forget is, yes, there is not a lot of medical research, like in the lab with really clinical studies, etc. On the other hand, we have thousands, probably millions of people. If you go to Reddit channels, you have 350,000 people talking about how they microdose every day. And they're sharing a lot of knowledge, also through apps now that collect a lot of data.
from people. It's called citizen science. Yes, not a lot of data and not a lot of studies in the real science, let's say. On the other hand, we have citizen science, millions of data points, millions of people doing it, where we have incredible results. So we really think, and that is our mission as well, is that our mission then in the scientific space is that these both, they will both say the same things, but in a couple of years, they will both say it's helpful for this, this, and this reason. And there will most probably be also more people that then maybe not microdose or not for too much of a long period. For example, for heart problems, they think about if you microdose for like 3 years, 5 years constantly, it might be something that you have to be careful with if you have a very problematic heart disease, for example. So it's also in the extremes. We don't want people to go in these extremes. For us, it's the opposite. It's like microdose for a month or two, then you pause, you take a break, then maybe you do it again.
Yeah, I think that's for any journey where you want to self-develop yourself or heal or whatever, it's going to be something very personal at one point. Having a protocol, having a framework is reassuring. And that's also something that ensures security. Like you said, it's a very number one thing you mentioned actually starting the conversation. Then you have to find your balance with the different elements you're going to use on that journey, because there is no magic pill. Like we said, it's not only about therapy. It's not about only microdosing. It's not only about yoga or sport. It's the thing all together. And also, you're willing to commit and to wait for the results, meaning take the time to get the results, because it's going to take time. Anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. And if we see it as a pill, like we can sometimes do, like, oh, I want to feel better, I take a pill and I feel it. If it's integrated like that, it won't work really. Will you feel the mushrooms or the truffles or whatever you're taking in? Yes, you'll feel it. But if you look at the long term, on the long run, you will not have the beneficial effects that you could have. And maybe that's also a good thing that's in the Western kind of philosophy of taking a pill and everything goes away. That's not what we need, right?
Yeah.
We need something that helps us to find the core, I can't say problem, it's not a problem, but the core element that blocks us. We just need to understand it. What blocks us? Ah, this blocks us. Okay, let's find a solution for it. Okay, we found a solution, our life is better.
Yeah.
It's not always that easy, but most of the time it's that, and instead of putting a plaster on.
The line in my services is I defy the unsustainable growth frenzy. And that goes with there is not a magic pill for everything. Sometimes you just have to wait. Take the patience of observing, evolving. And that's another way of going through life. It's not in the moment. It's not in the instant all the time. While you need the reward, at least, is not in the moment every time. But that's super hard for us because we're trained differently.
And again, the role of the trained therapist or coach or people that actually guide others through that microdose journey or that high dose journey. This is a key element that is not forgotten.
So. Yeah, that's the number one thing I say when I say, oh, so you microdose. Yeah. And I have a therapist I'm doing this on a journey. I'm not, I think it's essential to at least expect some effects, definitely. And so, what you observed with your members, what does success look like actually?
Good question. It's in many forms. We see life-changing stories
And we also see people that didn't have an effect. Let's say 5 to 10% don't really react on psychedelics. Or if it's done in the wrong way, or if it's not the right period. But for the majority, it helps. And then for a part, it's really, really life-changing. Mm-hmm. Example of one of the members is somebody that was on medication, so antidepressants, SSRIs, for about 15 years, 45-year-old, a couple of kids. Actually, everything went well in her life, but she was on antidepressants for a long period. A microdose for 3 weeks, guided, and together with her therapist. So not the I Do coach, but with her therapist, she decided to go off the medicine, go off the antidepressants, and only do microdosing. So that's like 6 months ago. She doesn't take antidepressants anymore, and that's one thing. But the most important thing is, how happy was she, and how is she today? And she's like thriving. She's feeling good. She's balanced. She's again having contact with a lot of her family members, which was a very difficult period. So a lot of things changed. That is when we see, when we feel that story, when we hear about that, when we talk about everybody that is linked to her, that is the core reason of why we do it.
That's simple. Yeah. That's a beautiful story indeed. Yeah, that's awesome that she could go through this.
These are the stories we really want to put out there and do podcasts with her, just share with the world what she felt. And that is not one example. We have, I would say, a couple of hundreds, maybe not that intense, but a couple of hundred that are really like life-changing again. But it's also we're not only there for the sensation of wow, having that extreme example. I mean, a lot of people just have that, but in a very lighter way, I would say, and it also helps, and it also helps on the long run, and not only like for the next 3 to 6 or 12 months. No, it's something. I don't microdose now for like 3 months, I think, 2 or 3 months. And I still reconnect with the things I learned or I did while I was microdosing, doing more sports, eating more healthy, being more in connection with my kids when I go home and not being on my phone. Like I really like, I kill my phone before I have that 2 hour period, for example, in the evening with my kids. These are things I didn't do before. That just triggered me a little bit to be careful about that, and I focused on it, and now it's part of my routine. It's part of my habit.
That's a very beautiful example again. And that's sure nobody has to transform its life like for the the transformation can be subtle, and that's in the little habits. And we know how much people are obsessed about changing their habits. I think that can talk to everybody. Like, that can support some changes I want to operate in my life. Yeah, it can.
Absolutely. It can,
with a proper protocol, with a proper commitment and with time. So that's very, it's very promising. Certainly.
And also, Emily, we talked about it just before the interview, is antidepressants and other medications are there for a reason. They are helping people. So we hear a lot of demonization of the antidepressants and the medical. No, it's necessary, but doesn't need to be implemented like we do now. And do we need all these people to be almost addicted to certain kind of medication that could be replaced by? And that is the opportunity.
We have choices in life. We have many of them. Did you see already in the grocery shop how many pack of chips you have? You can choose in what, I mean, we have so many choices. And to take care of ourselves, we can also have that choices. Why won't we? I mean, if we can choose between 30 bags of chips for the apéro, we can also have different options for our health. The good guidance is just the one thing that is super important. The classic Western medicine, antidepressants, and are working very fine, and they help a lot of people. But we all have our own ways with this, and it does not work for everybody the same way. So I believe it's important that we offer option and safe options. So that's very important.
100% yeah. Agree. And I love it the way you, well, think about it, and also that you invited me to the show, to the podcast, because it starts there. It starts with just having the right information. Yeah. Not only by somebody like me, but through articles, through scientists, through politicians, through media. It's just having the right information and then decide by yourself if it's something for you or not. And that is what we're doing.
Yeah, and I support that. I hope you have a nice journey. But I have a last question before we leave, a little bit more personal. What did you wish you knew about psychedelic microdosing before you even started?
Good question. It's a good question. Seems a bit stupid, but I don't think I wanted to know something before I knew, because it's just what I needed to not know, to be able to research it, to be able to talk about it with a lot of people, to get people together to understand. So that whole journey of understanding more and more, and we're still at the very, very early beginning of this, is necessary to understand how everybody is thinking about this. All the questions we went through the last 12 months are all the questions every single person has about this topic. So that helps us to be fresh and to see things in a different way, instead of knowing everything and needing to go back. So I feel it's more of an opportunity that not knowing.
Thank you very much. It's a very beautiful answer. I'm very happy you spend the time with me, and I'm happy I can share our conversation with the world. Thank you. It was super interesting, and I'm happy to have a fellow microdoser in my network for the future. It's always good.
Really happy to be here and to be invited. So thanks a lot for everything you're doing, and well, I'm sure we will meet very soon.